We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Clayton Custer. He is Loyola's point guard. He is, Brian, he is the Larry Bird Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year.
And
it's the Larry Bird Award. I mean, let me tell you something. How would you like to be the Larry Bird anything? You've had dinner with the guy.
I have.
I mean, that's nice. A treat.
Yeah, that was a bucket list type thing.
I'm just saying. You know, I won the Larry Bird Award. Thank you.
I asked
Bird
him
man.
He's going to finish his pork chops. And, you know.
Yeah.
Can I eat those?
Hey, excuse me.
Yeah, but that you know, part of this fun ride with Loyola is that, you know, you certainly know Porter. I've gotten to know Porter over the last couple of years having them on before they were the toast of the town. But the group of kids, and we get to learn their backstories and everything else. I mean, they're all very likable kids, confident kids, certainly, talented kids, no doubt. And that's part of it. I mean, there's no question at this point that they do it the right way with all the hard work. When you hear Clayton Custer talk about all the hard work and hours he's put in since he was a little kid, it doesn't come off as, you know, cocky or braggadocio or anything else. It's just, in the moment, he just told you how he was feeling. And I mean, that's one thing I really do enjoy about the tournament. The more even you learn about the Nevada team yesterday as you're watching that and get to, you know, there's twins on that team, Cody and Caleb Martin. You know, some of their guys seem like really level-headed, good, mature kids. And that's what makes the tournament fun for me. You start getting to know names and personalities, too.
312-644-6767, Keith is on the road. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call here. I was chiming in real quick. I think Loyola's run can continue for this main reason. 2018, you're really seeing transfers have an impact. Think about all the players that have moved around on different teams. There's the one guy in Loyola who played at Iowa State and came back. Now, I'm not downgrading.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not downgrading Loyola, but you have multiple teams left in the tournament that have players that were recruited to bigger schools. It didn't work out for whatever reason. Well, now they've come back to another school. That changes the blue chip programs, right? Because they don't have the same lineup that they used to have. And now some teams like Loyola, they got a stud player maybe they didn't expect to have 2 years ago. So that's happened all over the tournament. And I think that's the reason we're seeing the results with the parity. I know the NCAA maybe doesn't like that word, but this is the perfect storm of transfers, of teams that didn't have those players in the past, now they have them. It's a one-and-done series, like we all know. Upsets happen, and this is the perfect storm for it.
Thanks, Keith. Thank you very much for that. Sorry, getting a little emotional. They also have a kid, Marcus Towns, who transferred from Farley Dickinson and was in the tournament with them. So they got two guys that were transfers from other programs. They got a freshman, a local kid, who's their center. They got two other guys that have been in the program for 4 years. That's their starting five. And they got a JUCO transfer is their sixth man. I mean, if they got a blend of players that they put together, I think it's more the reason Loyola's not done is because they move the ball. They move the ball. If you move the ball, if you pass the ball, they're a great passing team. If you pass the ball, you'll find an open player.
And they're unselfish, too.
And they're very unselfish.
You know, and just reading over the weekend, too, and I didn't realize that Porter had made a move where Audrey Jackson, after the first 13 games, went to the bench for Crutwig.
Yes.
And, you know, didn't sulk about it or anything else.
Yeah,
and
he was their sixth man a year ago.
Yeah.
And Audrey Jackson was, he's the kid from Dallas, got to play in Dallas. Porter told us he tried to get a game down there.
He got the ultimate game for
him.
He got two of them.
So he made them a better team by having him come off the bench, and it gives them a different look, and they can go big, they can go small. They got, you know, guys that can beach off the dribble and guys that can hit open jumpers, and they move the ball. And Custer is, you know, obviously the key to the whole thing. They went 2-3 when he was injured. So they've lost five games all year, three without their best player.
And he turned his ankle in the first game of the conference tournament.
Right. Yeah.
And you know what? The other guys picked up the slack.
Right.
And that's what he loved about this team. They truly do believe that the open man should take the shot, and it's not one or two guys. They always say any guy on that floor can make that big shot.
But think about it, Brian. If they don't win that conference championship game, they're in the NIT. They're searching for an NIT bid.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a lock. And that's part of the problem with the way the committee looks at mid-majors.
Speaking of the NIT.
Because you can't – oh, boy, the NIT. What the hell happened to the NIT?
Marquette, 101 points yesterday. That looked like an Oregon team that did not want to get on a plane and fly to Milwaukee for another game. They just wanted to call their season.
Is Notre Dame out already? Did they lose in the NIT?
Yeah, they did. They lost a buzzer beater. Was it Friday, Saturday? Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
But Marquette rolled into New York.
He went to Notre Dame, and he got his master's at Virginia.
Oh, boy.
Those are his two
rough
teams.
Weekend.
The one team is you know, the last team out of the tournament and then eliminated the NIT.
The other one made history
the other team
the wrong
made
way.
History. Yeah. He's got Loyola with that 5,000-1 bet and nothing else.
Think about those Virginia kids. I mean, they're going to – how do you ever forget that? I mean, that sticks with you the rest of your life.
I got to tell you, that unfortunately also sticks to the coach.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the idea that Virginia is not built because of the fact
style
that
they play.
Yes. They're not built to win in the tournament.
I didn't think it, you know.
Ouch.
Yeah. Boy.
That's a terrible thing to have on your resume. Just rough, losing to a 16 seed. Let's try Matt. Matt's in River North. Hey, Matt.
Hey, fellas. I wanted to ask you guys a question. Do you think the tarnish is kind of off Izzo? You know, they haven't been, you know, they lost to Middle Tennessee in the first round last year. Did they lose a game at home, basically, to the last team that got into the tournament?
Yep.
And he has two lottery picks on the team.
I think that it's been an unbelievably difficult year for that program, right? I mean, just think for a second about everything that's going on at Michigan State, the Larry Nassar nightmare, and then all the linking of that, then Izzo's, you know, ill-conceived tweet. Where, you know,
hope you got the right guy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, yeah, it looks bad.
Of all people. And then, you know, you got was it Inside the Lines? Who was the
outside the lines?
Outside the Lines. He was Outside the Lines. Yeah. They got Inside the Lines. With the whole rape allegations and
the player turned grad assistant who all of a sudden disappeared from the program, was living in his basement, and
you know, and then, you know, you basically after the, you know, the Larry Nassar nightmare, and that's what it was, everybody had to resign. So you're left with Izzo and D'Antoni is the only people to talk to about that. You know, they're kind of the representatives of the school. I just think it's been a terrible year for them. I don't know that I agree that he slipped as a coach or fallen.
His March
in any
used
way.
To be Izzo time, right?
It was. It was every year.
And there was plenty of speculation that he had coached his last game yesterday, and he, I guess, put that to rest after the game.
Did
it sounds sincere.
Yeah.
Now, does the school have other ideas? I mean, moving forward?
I don't know.
Who's
making a call?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, before it was Tom Izzo was going to leave on his terms. NBA was calling for a few years, didn't want to be an NBA coach. You thought he would retire on his own terms at Michigan State. He says he's not running from anything, but is someone going to try to make him, you know, run out of town now?
312-644-6767, your impressions of the tournament. Very interested if you like it, if your bracket's busted, if you feel like well, hell, everyone's bracket's busted. Maybe I can win the right side, and that'll make up for the left. Huh? Mully and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That's the voice of Porter Moser. That's right after the game. In the news conference, thanking Clayton Custer for knocking down the jumper that gave them the victory and sent them to the Sweet 16, where they will meet number 7 seed Nevada. Give me the yo, buddy. 11-7. Those are the seeds.
Should be a good one. You know, Mike DeCourcy talking about the 28-win teams, and you have a couple of them here, right?
Yes.
That they will have success in the tournament, and proving his theory correct yet again.
And he's another advocate for St. Mary's. We'll talk to Mike in just a little bit. We'll talk to him around 7 o'clock. First, we'll bring in our buddy David Haw and get his take on it. But, yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, I've watched this team all year, and I thought they were a good team, and I liked a lot of the things they could do. But I don't think I imagined that they'd be in the Sweet 16. And I think it's pretty special to have gotten to this point. And now they will face the highest-seeded team that they have in the tournament. They've eliminated a 6-seed and a 3-seed. Now they get a 7-seed. If you just look at it numerically, this should be the easiest game they've had. Now, they've won each of their first two games by 2 points. There is a statistic out there that I think it's 7 or 8 teams have won their first two games by 2 points. They've all won their next game. So, I mean, I'm looking for anything.
But, you know, it's interesting. We were talking about this before the show, and you said you'd rather the chances against Cincinnati play.
I guess here's the problem, Brian. I had locked in on Cincinnati because I watched that game, and I was like, oh, damn, you know, they got too much height. This is going to be really difficult. But they're a defensive-oriented team. You know, the team that rallies from 14 down in the opening round to win in overtime – and then rallies from 22 down.
Second large deficit in tournament history.
That kind of
to come back and win.
You're not going to get rid of them, right?
And how about this? The 17.3 million entries in the four-letter network bracket contest?
Yeah.
1% had predicted a Loyola-Nevada matchup. 1% out of 17.3 million. So you weren't the only one projecting a Sweet 16.
There's no perfect ballot, right?
No,
I mean, because of the 16-1 thing.
Yeah, not even close. There's nothing.
Right.
Plus, it's a gazillion to one to have a perfect ballot anyway, bracket. But when you see Charles Barkley's bracket, did you see the
Charles.
When he said, I'm a lucky tie on Auburn, never loses when I'm a hockey. You should run to the window and bet Clemson.
That was rough. As was Candace Parker.
Oh, boy.
Local kid gone bad. 312-644-6767. Steve is in East Lakeview. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mully and Hanley. Yeah, I've been following Porter Moseley when he first got on campus, and their promotion was Fast Break by the Lake. Now, a lot of people forget that. Didn't they win the Insider.com Bowl a couple years ago?
They won the CBI, the College Basketball Invitational. I think it is. They paid like $250,000, and they won that tournament to get into it. You got to pay a certain amount of money.
A quarter of a million?
I think it's a lot of money.
Or is
it like $250,000?
Or is it $25,000?
Maybe it was $25,000.
CBI or CIT, one of those?
CBI, I think.
Yeah. Whatever they wanted.
He's unbeaten in the postseason.
So I'm taking that into consideration, that experience in – and like when they have the conference tournaments, you know, every year, that you got to factor those factors in. And this team, man, is just unbelievable. This is good for the city. Hopefully, this would get everything rolling, like Northwestern did it last year. Now you got Loyola. This is gonna put pressure on all these teams.
It should. Yes, that's the hope, right? I mean, it's great to see Northwestern get in and win a game one year and have the Ramblers get in and win a couple games the next year. And when's DePaul going to make their move, right? That seems to be what everybody's kind of harping
about.
That's
what we hear.
Yeah, well, they've been at it for a while in the Big East, and it's a very difficult league.
It is. Steve's point's interesting because Porter Moser, when you buy into a tournament because he figures any postseason basketball is
better
good,
than
right. Right, and where other schools turn their nose up and say we're not interested in the NIT. We're above that. We don't, you know, we didn't hit
anything helps.
Right,
helps build,
especially when you're on your ascending program.
I guess Mac wanted to call me with a challenge. Do we have that audio? Because I did do a little research as a result of my potential bet with Mac. Oh, I love singing. Yes.
Oh,
it really is. Yes, Old Kentucky Home's the worst. Let me recite it for you. It is a very sad song. It is a yearning for the past song. Wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee Hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top. Ain't no telephone bills. So he's searching for a simpler time where There isn't smog.
Checking out life.
And you don't have to worry about paying the telephone bill. You just, you holler.
You just fire up the still.
Once I had a girl on Rocky Top, half bear, other half cat, wild as a mink, but sweet as soda pop. I still dream about that. And then you have the, you know, the Rocky Top, everybody knows, and I'll sing it like Willie Nelson. Rocky Top, you'll always be home, sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good old Rocky Top, Tennessee. All right, now here's where it gets really good.
Is this a Loyalist song?
Now listen to this. No, we'll get to that in a second. Good old Rambler, you. Okay, now think about this one. Now this is a reference to the excise man or the revenue man. Once two strangers climbed old Rocky Top looking for a moonshine still.
Uh-oh.
Strangers ain't come down from Rocky Top. Reckon they never will.
Uh-oh.
This
trouble.
Is a mystery. This yeah, is a no. song. This implies foul play.
Yes.
To you know, excise agents.
You know what else is a mystery, Molly? What are you going to make Max sing now? Because
Neck doesn't have to sing anything.
Oh. You have a golden opportunity here.
But and if you don't believe what I'm saying, corn won't grow at all on Rocky Top.
No.
Dirt's too rocky by far. That's why all the folks on Rocky Top get their corn from a jar.
This is the worst song I've ever heard.
What does this have to do with the school?
How can they sing this as a song?
Are they have a moonshine department?
And then you go through your Rocky Top again, and then the next lyric, and this is the end of it. It's only four lines. I've had years of cramped up city life, trapped like a duck in a pen. All I know is it's a pity life can't be simple again. This is a sad song.
It's a lament.
It's a lament, isn't it? It's a very sad song.
With the school? I mean, they're moonshiners and people are getting killed on the Rocky Top. How do you have a moonshine if the corn ain't growing?
Yeah. Well, they've apparently murdered excise men.
Yeah.
I can't verify
don't
that.
Don't be coming up here
it's
with
implied
your,
within
your laws.
The lyrics.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
It's upbeat and you could dance to it, though.
Good thing the phones don't work. This segment is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Didn't pay the bill. No one can call for help.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All righty, we'll bring in David Haugh, the lead sports columnist of the Chicago Tribune. He knows a good story when he sees when he's on the Ramblers. We'll ask him what it was like as he sat there and watched that unfold. And what other chances? How long does this story go? Mully and Hanley, David Haugh next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. He is the lead sports columnist of the Chicago Tribune. He writes the In the Wake of the News column. He is our guy, David Haugh. David!
Morning, Mully. Morning, Hanley. Mully, the dramatic reading of Rocky Top was gripping.
Yeah.
I did not realize that was for Max.
The undercurrent. Yeah. The mystery in there. The murder mystery.
It's kind of a sad and sweet song. No, it's terrible.
I would rather.
Did you ever want to just not pay the phone bill and climb up the old hill?
Yeah,
and
no smoggy smoke.
And
everyone's had days like that, Brian, but the song itself
has nothing to do with anything.
No, goodness sakes. I mean, that Saturday, if you heard it once, you heard it 1,000 times.
Oh, boy.
And, that was quite a night, though. And Loyola's band was right in front of me, and they brought their A game. That whole fan base, let me tell you, it was a memorable weekend, and Loyola had a lot to be proud of about the basketball program, but they also represented well. They went into Dallas, and they had the strongest fan base in that building, and they were the darling of the tournament, and certainly that American Airlines Center, they made the presence felt.
They're just delighted that the sorting hat put them in Gryffindor. That's all it is.
And then there's only going to be more scarves sold this week, Mully.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Of course. You know, it's so funny. I'm watching Sister Jean and this story unfold, and the guy that's pushing her wheelchair is Tom Hitchell, who is the long time, I believe he was hired by George Ireland, been there forever, does everything at that place. I mean, he used to line the fields before our games,
really?
And then he would tape everyone's ankle. Tom's just really good. He just does it all, and it's like, it's so funny to see all these stories kind of, you know, sitting there, and, you know, I can't believe they won two games, David. I mean, I wanted them to, I picked them to, but I didn't really see all of this coming. They're a hell of a basketball team. They move the ball really well. They do really good things playing defense. They've got composure at the end of games, although, you know, that was, I thought they had blown it there. I mean, they had a nice lead and they were running into trouble, but that was a good team they beat. That's a 3 seed. They've beaten a 6 seed. Now they play a 7 seed with a shirtless coach. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, Nevada's a really good story in its own right. You know, I did not expect them to be here. I'm not sure a lot of people did. They did, and they say that they, you know, this is not anything unexpected, but the way that they played continues to put pressure on teams that are, you know, quote-unquote physically superior. And, you know, Tennessee, much like Miami, had every physical advantage over Loyola. But Loyola, they were smart, they were unselfish, and, you know, their offense is a product of the way that they've, you know, built their program, which is what Wes sort of wrote today. You know, they believe in anybody on that team can lead them in scoring on any given night, can hit any big shot on any given night. We've seen it now 2 games in a row. And that trust factor, that faith, is that, you know, the basis of their offense, which complements their defense. When you take off, you know, 20 to 25 seconds on the shot clock every possession when things are going right and you space the floor, that was the difference on Saturday. When Tennessee jumped off to a 15-6 lead, you felt a little like, well, hey, this is a fun ride, and they did everything. And then all of a sudden, Andre Jackson goes in the game. You know, they played the 6'5 and under approach. Frederick Hughes felt like that was kind of something he was used to seeing. And, you know, they spread it out. They took the air out of the game a little bit, and they came back. And so, smart team, fun team, and boy, you know, the way the tournament has gone, you just can't say anything isn't possible. Nevada's beatable, and then if they get Kentucky, who knows? You don't want to put limits on anything because they aren't.
Well, you know, David, we were talking the 5-on-5 about the approach Loyola should have against a Nevada team that can certainly score, and a lot of their guys are prolific when it comes to offense. But just, you know, I get when a team like Syracuse gets into the tournament or wins their playing game, and TCU has one day to kind of figure out a zone defense they haven't seen, and that creates issues. Now you have, again, 3 or 4 days to figure out your opponent, get film on them. And Dustin said, well, they should, you know, really slow the game down and everything else. But you have to do that within the context of your personality. You can't change what you're doing now at this point and try to do something that you're not or change your personality, because, you know, you have to just do what you do as well as you've been doing it, if not better.
I agree, Brian. And that's, I think, why Loyola has a shot, and that's why I think they've had success. They really haven't changed what they did during the Missouri Valley Conference season. You know, they have played this way from all year, and they share the ball. They've run their offense. I've been, I guess, most surprised then in saying that, you know, these teams have not taken them out of their offense more. They haven't, you know, been able to extend them and use their physicality and superior depth or strength or whatever to take them out of their offense. It continues to function at a pretty high level because they don't really, there's no isolation basketball. You're not seeing mismatches because the ball doesn't stop moving. And it's, you know, you see back cuts and ball screens, and you see all sorts of things offensively that come straight out of an instructional video. And all of a sudden, you know, you have a highlight reel. And that's the beauty of Loyola basketball right now. Let me tell you, and they're enjoying every step of the way. That makes it even more fun to watch, as we've discussed over the last couple of visits. You know, you get Clayton Custer at 8:35. I'm looking forward to that interview because it's just a kid who, you know, really is the epitome of college basketball. And Porter, the basketball evangelist, comes over after the game, and the fans are roaring, and Porter extends both arms. It's a great picture because he just looks like a guy, and he says, "I love you," and to the crowd, yeah. And he really does. It's just funny to see him soak all this in, and Yeah, this is a good story.
Yeah, it's great fun to watch, and it's, you know, makes the school look good, and, you know, what are you going to do? I was saying to Brian earlier, it kind of makes a case for mid-majors. You know, the Ramblers wouldn't have been in this tournament had they faltered in the Missouri Valley Conference Finals. And, you know, it's amazing. They've won a couple of games, and it really speaks to all the mid, you know, the St. Mary's of the world, teams that that don't get a shot and belong in the tournament as well as anyone.
It's a victory for basketball, because I think that the reason a lot of these teams, you know, succeed or excel in these compressed time periods of preparation and, you know, travel and pressure and hype and all these things that these teams have to process that are very, you know, that they have superior athletes and players and individuals. And the mid-majors emphasize the team. And that sounds sort of corny and cliche, but Loyola is corny and cliche. And yeah. They love it, and they embrace it, and they thrive on it. And so when they have, you know, a day and a half to prepare for a team like Tennessee, they're just themselves, and they have not broken out of that mold. And so that's a good point, because, you know, you see yesterday, you know, Butler fell short of Purdue, but, you know, this is the model. You know, Butler's sort of the model, the mid-major model in the Midwest, and I think Loyola has aspirations of being every bit as good as and consistent as that.
Moving forward, are we going to see maybe two dozen teams or 20 teams going into the tournament with a legitimate shot to get to the Final Four? Whereas in the past years, you had your early round upset or two or half a dozen, but when it got down to the Final Four, it was chalk time. And is the margin of talent that thin right now? Where, or, you know, parity has really taken hold here. You have kids transferring. You have, you know, some of these every program seemingly has a guy, well, at least one guy who should be playing maybe at a level or a conference higher than he's playing.
I think all the things that you mentioned are valid, Brian. I think it all contributes to a bigger, the overriding issue is you have a lack of continuity in college basketball at the best of programs, at sort of the quote-unquote elite programs. You have guys who are there a year, 2 years, and, you know, coming in and trying to assimilate quickly. And when you do that, you increase your margin for error. You know, you don't have the, you know, the things that you can count on, you know, the known knowns, you know, in every sport. You want to have things that you keep your strengths as strength. It's easier to do that at Loyola when you have guys who are staying for 2 and 3 years, you know, when you have, you know, recruiting classes that are complementary to each other. And you just don't see that in the high majors. You see recruiting classes that are, you know, dominant because of individual superior talent, and they just, it's more like free agency in pro sports. You just keep on, you know, running waves of talent after each other. But I think that you're seeing the, you know, the two different types of college basketball teams and programs represented in the tournament. You know, that the mid-majors, which are more true to the model, and the other guys who are more true to the NBA, you know, kind of minor leagues. And the clash of those is fascinating to see unfold, because right now, you know, we're getting caught up into the former, you know, and I think that's what makes college basketball the way we kind of remember it.
David, we got to ask you about the Bears before we let you go. Kyle Fuller, I think you can make a case that everything happened just the way they wanted it to, or you can make a case that, boy, that ended up being kind of a train wreck. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, I think it's great that the Packers did what they did. Yeah, I think that's the essence of a rivalry. They've done that before, Molly, you know, with the Tom Clemens blocking him, and they've had other kind of tweaks and front office, maneuvers that it's why it is a rivalry. They made the Bears do the only thing they could. The Bears had no choice.
Right.
They had to sign Kyle Fuller after the offer sheet was extended or signed to by the Packers. They did the right thing. They took a risk when they did the transition tag, and this is the result of that. It's not terrible what happened to the Bears. It's amusing, but it's nothing that I think, you know, if you want to stay cynical and you want to go negative, you want to say, oh, boy, that's the Bears being the Bears, go ahead. But it continues to be a pretty strong off season, and Fuller fit in because you could not afford to let him go. Had he gone to the Packers, had they not matched, then I think the criticism would have been valid. But boy, that was a fun story for a little bit.
It was. It was really amusing. All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great day.
That is David Haugh, the lead sports columnist of the Chicago Tribune. And we're going to be right back, and we will We'll throw that question, or we'll throw some tournament questions to Michael DeCourcy. We'll ask him about Loyola and their chances to survive against Nevada, survive in advance. Smalley and Hanley on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.